we've been talking about the fiery afflictions of life. In our last discussion, we were beginning our discussion of the flesh and crucifying the flesh. What does the Bible say about that?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we have been talking since the last broadcast about the flesh. And we said that the flesh does not refer to the physical body in Scripture. The flesh refers to the carnal mind, that is, that aspect of the soul life, which, when left to itself, will agree with sin. And the command of Scripture is for us to crucify our flesh, and we said that crucifying the flesh, if we do a word study of that word crucify, means to subdue it, to bring it under submission, to extinguish the desires of lust. Now, lust, in turn, means the desire to possess that which is not yours or mine to possess, or the desire to do that which is not yours or mine to do. And so crucifying the flesh, the carnal mind, crucifying the flesh, that aspect of the soul life, which when left to itself, that aspect of the thought life, which when left to itself agrees with sin, is something which God leaves to us and commands us to do. So, in actuality, the flesh is a thinking lifestyle. The flesh is a lifestyle of agreeing with sin and agreeing with what the world does and desires to do, disregarding God. Now, to understand the concept of crucifying the flesh, we need to turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Now listen to what it says. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elementals of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, let's just talk about a few things here in this passage of Galatians 4, verse 1 to 7. The first thing it says, that when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements. Correct that, Mikey. We were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, some of your translations say that we were in bondage under the elemental spirits of the world. That is a more correct translation, because you can be in bondage to a spirit, but also know that elements also meant religious traditions and doctrines, not just religious spirits. It then goes on to say that we, as we get older and are released from our guardians and stewards by Father God, we are then adopted as sons of God when we receive Christ into our heart, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, knowing our Father in heaven. And then it says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, why am I bothering to talk to you about this today? Well, the first thing that you need to know is that there are people in the Christian faith walk who stay as slaves, and that isn't God's will for your life. You cannot crucify the flesh, because our trials come from the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's our fiery furnace experience. And you cannot get victory over the flesh by staying a slave. Now you say to me, well, Bern, I need to know a little more about that, because I need to know if I'm a slave or if I'm a son. Well, that depends on your faith walk and what you've been taught. Now, let me say it this way to begin with. It all depends on where you have been feeding from. Now watch this, it's important. In the Garden of Eden, the Lord said to Adam and Eve, of all the trees of the garden you may eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. Now here, the Lord meant not only physical death, but spiritual death. Who was standing at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, waving to Adam and Eve and asking them to come on over there and try the fruit? Satan. Satan was standing at that tree. But there was another tree in that garden which was much more significant than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that was the tree of life, the covenant tree. And Jesus, the Christ, is the tree of life. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes unto the Father but through me. Now, if you understand that, then you can understand that there must be a difference between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. What is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It says, this is good and that is evil. Do this and don't do that. That is good and this is evil. Do that and don't do this. So you soon start applying rules and regulations of what you can do and not do, and it may be based on the letter of the Word of God rather than the spirit of the Word. And the Scripture says, the letter of the Word kills, the spirit of the Word gives life. And so you start doing this and not doing that, and before you know it, you're into self-effort to walk your own faith walk the way you think you should do it, and you're putting all kinds of effort into trying to please God and trying to do what is the right thing to do, and you are making an effort to do it by your own power, your own physical power, your own mental power, your own self-will, because you want to please God and you want to obey. And so you start walking a faith walk, which is a code of conduct faith walk. This is good and that's bad, and that's works when you do that. And you are not saved by works, you are saved by grace through faith. And so what ends up happening is that works, or doing this and not doing that under self-effort, becomes rules and regulations, a code of conduct lifestyle based on self-effort, and that code of conduct lifestyle, correction Mikey, and that code of conduct lifestyle is rules and regulations. And rules and regulations is religion. And religion is not covenant, because the tree of life is the tree of covenant. God is a God of covenant, Old Testament and New Testament. He was a covenant maker with the Hebrews. He is a covenant maker with the Gentiles and all New Testament people. And so the tree of life is called the tree of life because God is a God of covenant, not a God of religion. That's why religion can never save you or bring you to heaven. And it doesn't matter whether it is a Christian who is walking in the letter of the Word to try to keep it under his own power. That's certain failure. Why? Because Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. And in 2 Corinthians 4:10, Jesus said, in 2 Corinthians 4:10, the Holy Spirit said through Paul that it was his life, my body. In other words, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Galatians 2:20. In other words, Christ must live his life in you and through you to subdue all of the works and desires of the flesh, and then you are walking in the spirit of the Word, not in the letter of the Word which kills. What is the difference? The letter of the Word which kills is the same thing as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or religion. And at that tree you are a slave. You must observe certain things to believe that you are accepted by God if you do these things so many times a day, or pray so many times a day, or do that so many times a day. That is not what faith is about. That is religion. That is death. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian caught up in that kind of thing, trying to keep the Bible under your own self-effort, or if you're a non-Christian in some other religion. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Religion is death, the Scripture says. Eternal death, or death for ages upon ages. And the opposite is true of the tree of life, at which there is a Savior, a deliverer, if you will, one who has come into existence to take upon himself all of your sins and my sins and pay the price of those sins to the Father, justifying us to the Father. He is called in Scripture Mediator. He is called in Scripture Advocate. He is called to intercede for you and me to the Father that we may be adopted as sons. So sons come from the tree of life, and slaves come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what's the difference? A slave is driven by duty, okay? A son is driven by love. And here's another major important difference between knowing whether you're at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or at the tree of life. At the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're a slave and the guidance you receive is external to you. You receive it from outside by someone or something. But if you are a son, born again, spirit-filled, feeding from the tree of life, your guidance is internal by the Holy Spirit witnessing to you, and you are spirit-led. Now, why is this important? Because your spiritual growth and transformation can only come from being led by the Holy Spirit within you, which you get by the born-again experience, receiving Christ into your heart by trust, by faith, in which he then begins a work in you to transform you, you see. And that's the only way that you can get transformation, that is from within. Whereas if you go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and your guidance is from external sources like other scriptures other than the Bible, other men other than Christ, then that is guidance from the external. In other words, trying to perfect yourself under your own effort by external means, external circumstances, religious practices, scriptures other than the Holy Writ of the Bible itself, the only legitimate scripture in existence. No, no, no. There are not many ways to God. That's a lie of the devil. There are not many ways to God. No, Jesus says, the way to eternal life is narrow, and few there are that enter into it. And the way to destruction is wide, and many there are that enter into it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. You see, Jesus said, I come to divide. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In John 4:24, he says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. My friend, what I am trying to say to you and plead with you about is to understand that God has a standard. The God of the Bible has a standard, and he does not lower his standard because of man's ignorance. The flesh can interfere with our eternal happiness with God if we let the flesh interfere, so we must understand what the flesh is about and why we must not be slaves but sons of God. And you cannot be a son of God through religion. Let me repeat that once more. If you are in a religion, you cannot be a son of God through religion. Let me repeat that once more. If you are in a religion, you cannot be a son of God by religion or through religion. You must be a son of God by adoption, by coming to the tree of life. Jesus, the covenant tree, and making a covenant with Jesus, because God historically has always been a God of covenant, relationship, commitment, receiving him as personal Lord and Savior, and then trusting on him from that moment on, no matter what happens. That's what it takes. Letting God live his life, letting God live his life in you and through you to perfect you from within by his ministry to you and by the word, you see? So if you are a slave, you're at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're driven by duty and obligation, not by love. If you're at the tree of life and you unconditionally love God and know God unconditionally loves you, then there is no need for rules and regulations because he ministers to you and shows you the way in which you should walk, shows you what you should do. There is a spirit-led guidance from within, whereas at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there is external guidance from without. That's religion. What man says, God says. And so you are led by Pharisaical priests or Pharisaical ministers who put you under performance and who make you obey and make you obey the letter of the word. And the Bible says the letter of the word kills. The spirit of the word gives life. And when you invite Christ into your heart, the spirit of the word is within you and will witness to you. The proof of it is that we have millions of Christians worldwide who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and who are guided by the Spirit within and yet have never owned a Bible because they either cannot afford one nor can they get their hands on one. Can you imagine being a Christian and not owning a Bible? I get letters from listeners almost on a daily basis who tell me about that, asking for a Bible, but they know Jesus, and when they talk Jesus in their email or in their letters to me. And how is it that they are able to do that? And the answer is from the Spirit within. Once you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you become a son of God, and you are no longer a slave to men or a slave to a book or a scripture, because the living God is in you to show you the way. And you subdue the flesh in that manner by victory through Jesus, who lives his life in you and through you by your asking him to do so. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you do not, should you not? Should you not? Of course you should. There is no reason why not to. I get a lot of people who seem to get irritated and angry over the idea of Jesus and receiving Jesus. Why? What did Jesus ever do to them? What did Jesus ever do to you? Why not receive him? Is there any reason why you should not? You know, if you actually think about it and you take Jesus at his word, you will see that you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Tomorrow may be too late. Why? Because you have to make a choice between the world or Jesus. Which will you make your source? Now listen up, young man, young woman in particular. Which will you make your source? The world doesn't hold your future. The scripture says the world is dying. Only Jesus holds your future. And he has a great future for you and a great plan for you. And he will deliver you from every adverse circumstance that you are in. Every one of them. If Jesus has a way into your heart, Jesus has a way out of your circumstances and can make you an adopted living son of the Father, son of God, rather than a slave. Jesus wants to take you out of the slavery of religion and get you into the fullness of the Spirit that he may walk and talk with you and reveal himself to you as a living person. No other person in any religion can do that. Only Jesus can do that. Are you ready? Be willing to turn from your sins. Pray this prayer aloud right now. Mike, enter the prayer. Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, get Holy Spirit baptized, and get into Christian community where they can teach you the Word of God. I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same. Well, what more does the Bible tell us about crucifying the flesh and learning to be sons and not slaves. Let's talk more about it next week. God bless you. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Do you know what idolatry is? It's anything which interferes with your relationship to God. It could be your job, your money, sex. It can be worship of a nature spirit. It can be worship of some god or goddess other than Jesus, if you're in a religion in particular. All of that is idolatry, the gravest of sins in the Bible. Why? Because God is not a god of idols. God is a God of covenant, relationship, intimacy. He is a God of love who wants to know you and does know you, but he wants, moreover, for you to know him. And so you must understand that to walk in the Spirit, as the Scripture commands us to do, we must annihilate the flesh. Our fiery afflictions in this life is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we haven't talked about the devil yet, but we are talking today about the flesh, and we will continue this discussion in our next broadcast. So round up your family members and relatives and friends and sit around the radio and listen to these things, folks, because you cannot get on with God until you bring the world, the flesh, and the devil under submission to you. Yes, that's right, to you. And you say to me, Bern, even the devil? And I say to you, yes, even the devil. Aren't you sick and tired of all you've been living through and all you've been going through and life not changing? Everybody needs a new beginning. And today is as good a day as ever if you will let Jesus Christ into your heart. If you will let him speak to you, the first evidence is change of attitude towards the things of God, towards the things of Jesus, towards the things of the Father, towards the things of church. That's the first evidence of Jesus' presence. He changes your attitudes toward the things of him. Pray this prayer with me aloud now, and let Jesus do a miracle in your life. Would you please
say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational Christian church. Get Holy Spirit-baptized and water-baptized by immersion. Get into a Christian community group where they can teach you the Bible, the truth, the Word of God. I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same. Well, what else does the Bible tell us about crucifying the flesh and dealing with the flesh? Let's talk more about it next week.
Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.